Ain't nothing like that mission. We just go there, did we, Brother David? Matthew chapter 4. And I want to preach something very familiar to you this morning, little thoughts on it this morning, the three temptations of the Lord. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. We notice in Matthew 3, just toward the end, we know that the Holy Spirit comes down descending like a dove lightning on after the baptism. In verse 17 of chapter 3, it says, "Lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And verse 4:1 says this, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God," and that's the devil, "command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And you know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are." And the Lord Jesus Christ, He was God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness, how that God was manifest in the flesh. And He lived and walked on this earth for 33 years, and He went through some of the same temptations that you and I go through. And He dealt with some of the same things you and I deal with. Now, He was sinless. He never sinned. We know all that. But the devil took Him up there, and the three temptations He gave the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe every one of us deal with those nearly daily. We deal with the same things that the devil took the Lord Jesus Christ up there. And listen, if the devil has the audacity and he has the guts to tempt Jesus Christ, don't you know he'll tempt me or you or Donald Trump or anybody else? Huh? I mean, he was not intimidated one bit by the Lord. And he knew who he was. Make no mistake. He knew who Jesus Christ was. This "if thou be the Son of God" business was a bunch of bull. He knew exactly who he was dealing with. But he didn't bother him. He still had enough audacity and thought he could tempt the Son of God, the sinless Son of God. And let me tell you, if he'll do that to the Lord, he can knock me and you out like that. Just like he did Noah. Just like he did Moses. He knocked every one of them. Just like he did David, he took them out. And he'll tempt every one of us. And the things the Lord Jesus Christ went through in those three temptations, I was reading it a while back, and I began to just study it and research it and think about it, and I kind of picked out things that you and I go through the same thing daily. What's he's going through here? And I'm going to ask Brother David Beard to take us to the Lord in prayer before the message. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. 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 Let me just give you a few things by way of introduction. Number one, the Bible says, then, verse one, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And I was going to say, just kind of introduction, that the wilderness is most of the time where you get the temptations. You notice that? You notice that the Bible said the Spirit was the one that led him up to the wilderness, and you're not found out a Spirit-filled child of God normally in this world. It's a wilderness to him, amen. Thank God this world is not my home, amen. Thank God, brother, that I'm not comfortable down here. And the word wilderness, it means a desert, a barren land. And I'm going to tell you, once I got saved, this old world became a wilderness to me. And normally that's where your temptations will come. Remember old John the Baptist? It said, John the Baptist said, I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness. You remember Israel, they were 40 years and 40, they were 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and that's why the Lord Jesus Christ was 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness hungered, because he had to do penance for Israel and show that he had kept the law, and he did what Israel could not do, and Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And the wilderness is a lot of places where you and I get tempted. And when the Holy Spirit led Jesus Christ, he led him right up to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And that's a lot of places where you and I get tempted. That's where a lot of places where you and I, as a child of God, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we're not happy down here. This world's not our home. It's a wilderness. That old song we sing, I've never been that homesick before. The chorus says, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I can see my father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness to me. I'm ready for deliverance, Lord. I've never been this homesick before. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 4, that he was tempted in all points like we. He went through the same temptations. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 18 says, in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He went through the temptations you and I went through. And we see there in Matthew chapter 4, the devil took him up to that mount of temptation there and took him into the wilderness, and he tempted the Son of God. And brother, if he's going to tempt him, you better know it's coming your way. Big time. Big time. And I want you to notice also, by way of introduction, I'm not going to preach on this, it's a good message, but every time the Lord answered the devil, he answered it with, it is written. Every time the devil opened his mouth and tempted Jesus Christ, every temptation he had, Jesus Christ come back with a quote from the Old Testament. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written. And listen, brother, if you and I are going to do spiritual battle and we're going to have any victories in our life, we're going to do it with that blessed book. That's the sword of the Spirit. That's the only offensive weapon you got, is that book. And I want to give you a few things about these temptations real quick. I want to say first of all about them. Look at verse 2, Matthew 4, 2. It says this. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. You know, the devil shows up in our weakest time, doesn't he? When you get hungry and you're in the wilderness, that's when the devil will show up. And when the tempter came to him, that's what the devil does. He tempts you. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, watch it, it is written, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I want to say the first temptation I see there is just the day-to-day living is what we're talking about. The key word in that verse is Jesus said, man shall not live, not feed, not survive, not nurture. He's talking about living right there. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. And I will tell you, one of the first temptations you and I deal with is just the day-to-day-to-day living and getting by. Because this world is tailored to get our hearts and minds off the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day-to-day getting up and fighting the world and going through it and all that kind of stuff, it just gets your hearts and mind off the spiritual things of God. And that first temptation is just the day-to-day living. Turn over Mark chapter 4. Get Mark chapter 4. And while you're there, just hold a place for Luke chapter 12. We'll go to Luke chapter 12 in a minute. There's just that day-to-day living. And the Jesus Christ was hungry. I get hungry. Y'all ever get hungry? You ever been hungry, Brother Jeff? You know what I like to do when I get hungry? Pray. No, I like to eat. I'm not worried about praying. I pray for my food. Fast as I can get down. I don't worry about when I get hungry, my stomach starts growling, Miss Debbie, I don't run to the Bible. I go in the refrigerator. You know what that does? That's just the cares of this life. That day-to-day living, you know what it'll do? It'll get your eyes off reading the Bible. It'll get your eyes off prayer. It'll get your eyes off the Lord. Every one of us likes to eat, I believe. Except Brother Brian. Except, I don't know now. When he was over there at Sherry's that day, he just picked the plate up, Miss Tara went, shoved it in. I ate fast. I hadn't even got started. I looked over there and he had a clean plate. There's a day-to-day living. Look at Mark chapter 4. It's easy for us to get caught up and get snared in this world, isn't it? I mean, we got things we got to take care of. Look at Mark 4:19. It says this, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things, there are three temptations, choke the word, and it become unfruitful. The cares of this world, just the day-to-day living, they choke the Word of God. They can't find room to read a Bible, can't find time to read the Bible, and it's just that day-to-day living that'll take us and knock us out of the will of God. I'm not talking about sin this morning. I'm talking about just day-to-day living, just trying to get by and just take care of your family and feed your family and do the right thing. Sometime, brother, it'll just bam-o. I mean, the devil asked the Lord, said, hey, you're hungry. Won't you just turn these stones into bread? Son, he could have done that, Mr. Matthew. He could have had a Merida bread factory right there. That'd have been easy. And the Lord said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word ever proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know what that's at day-to-day living? There's a temptation for you and I just to get thrown up in the world and caught in the cares of this world and get sucked in that thing, and there's no room for God. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about the things to live and get by. The day-to-day living will knock you out of the will of God. Not to say we don't want to take care of family. We have to. Not to say that we shouldn't take care of ourselves and our bodies. I mean, I took a shower this morning. First shower I've had in 2 weeks. 2 days. I don't have to take a shower, Brother David. I don't take a shower. That's made my wife tell you. I don't have to get it cleaned up, brother. I don't get cleaned up. My idol's Duck Dynasty, them long beards and all that. But you know what? There's just that day-to-day living you got to do. Put on that deodorant. Put on a coat. And come into church. And look pretty. And you know what? Sometimes that stuff can knock you right out of the race, Brother David. Just the day-to-day living. It'll take you out. Bob Jones Sr. said this. He said the devil did not tempt Adam and Eve to steal or to lie, or to kill, or to commit adultery. All he did was tempt them is to live independent of God. Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, isn't that the same temptation that the Lord had? Isn't that what Eve had? I mean, didn't the Bible say that Eve looked up there and the devil said, yea, hath God said, you should not ever tree. He said, hey, aren't you hungry? She said, I sure am. My stomach's growling. And it says she saw that the tree was what? Good for food. First sin in the Bible that damned human mankind was just the day-to-day living, just a little bit of food to eat. It was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. It was a desire to make one wise. She took thereof and ate and gave Adam. She didn't sin. She didn't go out smoking cigarettes. Everyone has the preacher's messages right there. She didn't go out there commit adultery. All she did, was reach out there and take a piece of forbidden fruit. You say, what was it? It's just the day-to-day living, friend. Just trying to take care of yourself. Sometimes will take you right out of the will of God. And it'll tempt you. That's not sin. Just getting away from God. You're just getting away. Look at Luke chapter 12. Over in Luke chapter 12. Some of what Brother Jeff sing about, consider those lilies. Luke 12, verse 15. You see, our temptation, that first temptation there is just that day-to-day living, because we can get so caught up in the physical. We can get so caught up in the jobs. We can get so caught up in the cares of this world and this life that God doesn't have any place, any room. He's choked out. No room. And Jesus said, man shall not live. That's the key word. You want to live. Man shall not live by bread alone. Look over in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness. Watch this. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's not life. Come down to verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. And he said unto the disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on, watch it. For the life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Verse 31, but seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33, it said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But we put so much stock in the cares of the world sometimes, and just leave God right out of it. And there's that first temptation of the day-to-day living. Look at Romans chapter 14. The temptation is just so easy. We're all guilty. Say amen. Amen. We're all guilty to get caught up in this thing. I don't know how many times I've talked to people. I've had some of them come to me, some in this church. And saying I'm having a hard time with this or whatever. And I ask them, I say, well, let me ask you one question. Are you reading your Bible every day? First question I ask anybody comes telling me that. And every time that somebody tells me that, the answer is always no. I say, why not? You know, and they'll say, I don't have time. You know what's happened? The cares of this life and all that kind of stuff. And some of it's important. They reach in there and choke the Word of God. And that time God walks with you. And they've taken it out. And it's just that day to day to day living. Taking care of stuff. And they choke that time out. Look at Romans chapter 14. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Romans 14:17 says this, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. That's what we think it is. We spend all the time there, and I know you gotta eat, I know you gotta sleep. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's amazing how far even our country we've gone. That God's not even a part of it anymore, and just the day-to-day living has taken God and just swept Him out. There's a temptation, you and I. Just that day-to-day caring about feeding the flesh and taking care of the house and taking care of the car and taking care of the job and taking care of the kids and taking... I mean, sometimes God just gets stuck over here in the closet and gets taken totally out. It's amazing to me. When you go out and eat, look around, see how many times you see somebody bow their head and ask God's blessing on the food. Very rarely. 20 years ago in America, I remember as a kid, half the people in there pray. Half the people in there. Funny, every time I'd go out to eat with some of the guys I work with or whoever it is, CFO, I don't care, CIO, CEO, occasionally I'd go out with some of them big wigs, you know, and we went out a while before I left. They took me to Ruth's Chris, some of the big shots, you know. And I said, let's pray real quick and ask God's blessing. They act like, it's a Baptist play. They act like you just told them, you know, shoot each other or something. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, rarely do you see anybody just even take the time to give God the glory and thank Him for the food. Like a little boy one time I heard about, He is raised in a Christian home, and he went to spend a night with one of his buddies, Samantha. He's about 5 or 6 years old. And they sat down to eat, Brother Jeff, and they just threw all the food out there, you know, put the plates down. They just jumped in without blessing. And that little boy popped up and said, "Y'all just like my dog. Y'all just jump in." That's the way the world is, isn't it? No time for God. I mean, the cares of this life, they just jump in. Like an old farmer one time, he went downtown. He's there with a Waffle House, getting some eggs. An old farmer sat down, he prayed and asked God's blessing on it. There's some young guys sitting over there by him. One of them laughed at him. He said, "Hey, old farmer, does everybody do that where you come from?" Thought about praying. He said, "No, son, the pigs don't. Pigs don't. God's people ought to all day, Brother David. I want to tell you, brother, sometimes the cares of this life, they just choke the Word of God. And there's that temptation of the day-to-day living. God can't even get in sometimes." The Bible says over there in Colossians 3:2, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Bob Jones Sr. said, "Jesus never taught men how to make a living. He taught men how to live." You know what he wants us to do? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Over the book of Haggai, if you know where Haggai is, turn it. It's right before the book of Zechariah. Zechariah is right before Malachi. Malachi is right before Matthew. So it's right before 3 books in from the New Testament. Turn to the book of Haggai. This is a good verse. Haggai chapter 1, right before Zechariah. Haggai chapter 1 says this, verse 6. Here's the world now. He said this, Haggai 1, 6, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat and have not enough. Ye drink but are not filled with drink. Ye clothe, but yet there is none warm." Is that not the world? And it says this, "But he that earneth wages, to put it in a bag with hoes." I could give you a few hoes. I could preach on that a while. There's the hoe of the IRS. Miss Samantha, they got a big hoe. They just, I'm doing my taxes now. I got to pay a bunch of money. I told my wife, I'm away at the last second. Maybe the rapture come before. I don't want those jokers to get it. I mean, it's just the hoes they got all over the place. You take the world. I was looking on the internet a while back, and I looked at some of these famous athletes. Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson made over $400 million. Right now, he's bankrupt and homeless. Allen Iverson, 11-time NBA star. He had a salary in 2008. His salary was $21 million a year. He recently went to court. His wife trying to get alimony, he pulled up his pockets and said, "I don't have any money. I don't have enough money to buy a cheeseburger." Made over $100 million. Bag with holes in it. Antoine Walker, NBA, 3-time NBA All-Star, earned over $108 million. He reportedly just declared bankruptcy and living with his parents, and they got a show, a movie about him. It's called Gone in an Instant. He'd live with mom and daddy now after $108 million. Terrell Owens, 15 years as a standout NFL star receiver. He earned over $80 million. He filed for bankruptcy recently, Brother Brian. He had over less than $50,000 in the bank. What is he? What are you trying to say? I want to tell you, there's the temptation of day-to-day living, and those men just blew all their money. And those men, when they got through, there was nothing left at the end of that bag. NFL star Chris McAllister earned over $60 million. 2004, signed a $55 million contract. He lost everything and is now living with his parents. Say, what are you trying to say? I'm going to tell you, when life becomes all about the flesh and it becomes turn these stones into bread and it's all about that, I'm going to tell you that's where the end shows up. And Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." There's their first temptation. Just of the day-to-day living. Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 5, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And the first temptation of man is the same as Eve, the same of Israel. I remember Israel. They got in the wilderness. Oh, would to God we'd have stayed in Egypt where we had all that food. Now listen, you were a slave, dummy. But they got down there and got hungry and said, oh, would to God. Moses saw us out there. They were ready to stone and kill him. What happened? Day to day living. They got hungry a little bit. God parted the Red Sea, killed the Egyptian army, went through all the miracles, and they forgot them that quick. That quick. Said, hey, I wish we'd have stayed in Egypt as a slave. Bless God, we're hungry. That day to day living. They'll sell God out like that. Just like that. You know, when I was bringing up, thinking about this point, thinking about all these people had money, I got a bunch more I could tell you about. But I was thinking about that old song in the garden, Charles Miles. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. Think of that. Walking along. I picture a man, Brother Brian, he's walking along a spring day like that right there, and he's walking along this rose garden and the dew's on the roses, and he's just whistling along, just having a ball. I mean, just enjoying the day-to-day living. Just enjoying the day. I come to the garden alone when the dew is still on the roses, and a voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has never known. He speaks in the sound of his voice. It's so sweet, the birds hush their singing. He's walking that garden, Miss Kathy, and those birds are singing, and there are rose bushes, and the dew's there. Oh, he's just enjoying God, that day-to-day living. And the joy we share as we tarry there, and a melody he gave to me within my heart is singing. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And boy, I picture that man just walking along that garden, Miss Carol, just enjoying that beautiful spring day and the birds are singing. That man wrote that song lying on his back, sick. That man wrote that song in a dark basement where there was no window in it, and it was concrete walls, and it was leaking and damp in there. And that guy, the day-to-day living in the situation he was in, walking with God, had more joy than all those guys I read you about, all the money put together. The day-to-day living will tempt you, and it'll take you out of the will of God that quick. I want to give you another one. Turn to Mark, Matthew chapter 4. By the way, Luke chapter 4 has the same deal. And Luke chapter 4, it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know all the new Bibles take the second half of that verse out in Luke 4:4. All the new Bibles just say, man shall not live by bread alone. Nothing about the Word of God. Every one of them take it out. And the Lord's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Listen. They may not know what Deuteronomy 8:3 says, but he does. They don't even know what it says. Nobody even checked it, I guess. I want to give you the next one. Verse 5, Matthew 4:5. There's the first temptation. I want to say it's just the day-to-day living, trying to get by. Second one, look at verse 5. Then the devil, taking him up to a holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. The devil starts quoting Bible, by the way. You notice that? The devil says, hey, you want to have a sword drill? You want to quote Bible? I can quote it too. And he quotes it right back to the Lord, Psalm 91. But you know what he does? Pulls it out of context. Tries to get the Lord out of the will of God. And he said, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thy stone they shall bear thee up, and at thy time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again. Lord quoted in the Bible again. It is written again, I shall not tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil's quoted to him, and I will call this, this is just the day-to-day lifting.
You see, the temptation for me and you sometimes is just to fall down and quit. And that's what the devil's saying to Jesus. He said, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. Throw your gold, just jump off here, throw yourself down. Because the Bible says he shall give his elders his chains concerning thee, and in their hands they'll bear thee up, unless thou dash thy foot against the stone. He said, just throw it out there. And the Lord said, I shall not tempt the Lord thy God. And part of the temptation for you and I is just to lay down and quit and not get back up. There's just a day-to-day lifting. Just getting back up. And the devil says, hey, if you're the Son of God, God's taking care of you. What's the big deal? Just throw yourself down there and don't worry about it. Listen, I know 1 Peter 5:7. I quote it every day. Nearly since I've been saved. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And I believe it, Miss Kathy. I believe that verse. But I don't believe if you climb on top of this church, get on that steeple, and do a swan dive down there, he's going to catch you. I don't believe he will. I believe you'll splatter the ground and Uncle Reuben have to run over you with a lawnmower. Cut you. He'll see you growing up out there. I want to say there's a day-to-day living, and that temptation for you and I is just to throw yourself down and don't worry about it. God will take care of you. It's said over there, if you even stump your toe against a rock, he'll pick you back up. That's where a lot of Christians get off course, by the way. You know what they do? They just quit on God every time something comes along. And one of the temptations we have to do is just the day-to-day lifting. Getting back up. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, we go through a lot every day. Just the day-to-day living that I mentioned, I stump my toe about 100 times a day. I mean, there's so many things that goes on. Brother Zito was talking about cutting the grass. I cut mine a couple of weeks ago. And Brother Jeff, I got the lawnmower out. Went out there. I done been through a paper cutter episode y'all told you about. I done been through the air conditioner. I had to call him out there. Then I go out there. Hey, when the lawnmowers don't crank, they always crank. I got a Toro. I had 1 second crank. I'm out there. I take the spark plug out, check it. Put it back in. I put a new spark plug in it. I go in there and cut the spark plug connection off and make me a jimmy rig, make sure it's working. I go get my wife. When I go get her, I'm in trouble. I told her to pull that thing. I'm trying to see if there's a spark coming out. I smell gas. I'm 2 hours working on that stupid lawnmower. I mean, sometimes you got to lift yourself up. You know what I wanted to do? Go back in there and go to bed. Call Jeff up. Come fix my lawnmower. Call Uncle Reuben. Come cut my grass. But I kept playing with it. And I was about ready to take it to Chalkville. And I thought, just the heck of it, Miss Carol, I'm going to pray over this thing. And I got down there, and I'm telling you the truth. I'm not preaching now, I'm telling you the truth. I got down there and prayed about my lawnmower. And I said, Lord, this is dumb. Stupid, Lord. I know you're not interested, but Lord, would you please crank this lawnmower? You know what happened? Anybody would like to know what happened? Stupid thing cranked. I was thinking, boy, I could have saved 2 hours worth of time if I just prayed first. But that's day-to-day living just drops your toe and drags you down, and you got to fix it and try to get it working, and you got to lift yourself back up. Some people, you know what they'd have done? Like I like to have done. They go in there and get your sledgehammer and beat that devil out of that thing. If I was still working, I might would have done that, but I didn't have any money. But there's a day-to-day living. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. Look over 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. We memorize this verse. It's a great verse. There hath no temptation taken you. It'll take you. It takes you. Temptations grab hold of you, folks. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. We all go through it. We all go through broken lawnmowers. We all go through cars broke down. We all go through sickness and colds and cruds and all. We all go through it. But no temptation taking you but is common to God. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Watch this. But will with the temptation also make a way of escape. And that's where everybody ends that verse right there. But there's eight more words in that verse. You know what it says? That you may be able to bear it. You see, the temptation don't go away. God gives you the strength to bear it. Look at that verse said. He said, but will with the temptation. With the temptation is not going away. He said, with will the temptation make a way to escape that you can bear it. See, you got to do the heavy lifting. God will give you the way and the strength, but you're the one that's got to bear it and lift it. And it's that day-to-day lifting a lot of times that knocks a lot of Christians right out of the park. We got some in this church. Used to come to this church. Y'all, some of you know them, Dollar. We got several of them. They used to come to this church. They love this church. What happened? They got going along and stumped their toe. Stumped their toe. They're out of church right now. Sitting over there in a pity party, just sitting around, blaming everybody else. And not getting back up and lifting up. Something happened. One little thing comes along and they stump their toe. They dash their foot against a stone and they stay down. And it's that day-to-day lifting and getting up and keep going. That's a temptation to you and I. You know what I'd like to do today? I'd like to stay in bed. I'm just being honest with you. I got up and said, I've been sleeping later. I got 6 o'clock this morning, Miss Smith. I didn't sleep good. Sarah was coughing. I just soon called in and said, hey, I'm sick. I like that commercial, you know, with a mom, you know. She goes into her daughter. Y'all seen that one? She said, hey. And you don't see the daughter at first. She said, I'm sick. I got to take a sick day. And the little girl sitting there. And our commercial is, mom don't take sick days. Preachers don't take sick days. Christians don't take sick days. Hey, what do? You just keep going. Keep going. It's just that day-to-day lifting as a child of God. You get back up, you get back in, and you keep going. But a lot of Christians, they tempted the devil. The devil says, hey, God will take care of you, dude. Just cast yourself down on the ground, lay down there and wallow a little bit. It's all right. That Bible says in Proverbs, a just man rises, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. You see, it's that day-to-day lifting that's a temptation to you and I. And some days, Miss Liz, I just like to lay in bed and put the covers on my head. But it don't work that way. Like that old fellow one time laying in bed that morning praying. He's laying and praying. He's saying, he's saying, dear Lord, oh, it's been a good day so far. He said, God, I've just got just a blessing. And he said, I thank you, Lord, today. I didn't cuss nobody out. I hadn't got mad at nobody, dear Lord. And thank you, Lord, everything's going good. And he said, now, God, I got to get out of this bed, so you got to help me, amen. Just that lifting up, getting going, Miss Samantha, and getting those health care calls. I was telling him, I'm so glad. The best thing about work, when I used to get a call 99% of the time at night, it was work with a problem. Now, every time the phone rings, I don't have to go hide under the bed. But just that lifting up and getting going, the day-to-day lifting is a temptation. It takes a lot of Christians, out right there. Sometimes God does something. We do it, and God helps us. And sometimes, brethren, you know what I found out a lot of Christians do? They use the Lord as an excuse not to do something rather than a reason to do it. Listen to what I just said. I know a lot of them. I know a lot of them out of the will of God today, and they think they're the greatest preacher that ever lived, and think they're right and everybody else in the world's wrong, and they use God as an excuse not to do something rather than a reason to do it. You know what they do? They've heard the old devil temptation. Just cast yourself down. He'll give you angels charge. Bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And they're just sitting over there. Bless God, I'm right with God. And all them people at Pearl Lake Baptist Church is full of the devil. I'm telling the truth. I know some like that. I know situations like that, and they never get back up, and they never lift up. I know some for 30 and 40 years. Just that day to day lifting. I used to go down there and preach that mission, like Brother Davis said, for 31 years. And those men down there, a lot of those men saved. They love God, don't they? Brother Jeff been there. Son, they rocked that place, boy. You get singing victory in Jesus, son, that building moves, don't they? They love preaching. They preach you to death. You know what happened to a lot of those guys? They got down and never could get back up. Their wife left them, lost their job. Something in their life happened, had some problems, and they just couldn't handle the day-to-day lifting every day. You got to get up, and you got to keep going. You got to lift yourself up and go through the storms and go through the pain and go through it. And that temptation, the devil told Jesus, why worry about it? And a lot of Christians, they just flippantly flop and through life and doing nothing and just stay down the rut. There's a temptation, the day-to-day lifting. It's amazing how easy that is to do, by the way. We're all susceptible. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know who's got to do it? You. He doesn't say Jesus will do all things for me. It said I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You got to bear the heavy lifting. It's your job to do the lifting. Bob Jones Sr. said, God will not do for you what He's given you the strength to do for yourself. I'm going to tell you, brother, there's a day to day to day lifting. I got an email from Brother John Prescott that was here this week. And I'm going to read you what he sent me last couple of days ago. But I'm going to read you first of all. I got thinking about old Brother John. That old guy don't have anybody but God. Nobody travels with him. He just shows up places like this, wherever he's at, all around the country. There's not two of him, one of him. He does all that by himself. I got this 2013, June 12th, June the 1st, 2013, an email from him. He goes to libraries and does emails. While tracking in North Carolina, a throat irritation caused me to go to the VA hospital in Durham, which is attached to Duke Medical. They discovered a tumor on the remains of my tonsil, and after CAT and PET scans, they scheduled a biopsy. Please pray for our Lord's compassion, mercy, and His strength for me, whatever the cup is ahead to accomplish His will. June the 10th, the medical team at VA Duke, in North Carolina, they are optimistic with treatment. They said that the tumor is malignant. They are optimistic with treatability, stating that they're 8 weeks of radiation, 5 days a week of chemo, all to begin after some dental work. And they took out all of his church, all of his teeth. And he said they would remove permanent, and they're looking at his jaw, this thing, they may have to remove that. There's a special prayer concern. They had to go in and said, cut out all of his wisdom teeth. They discovered that they were infected, and they're afraid there's partial numbness. And he got through. He said, thank you again for your prayers. Psalm 46:1, I'm just trusting in Jesus. You know what he's doing? Lifting up. All these emails. Going through all this stuff. Cardiologist, the oncologist advised today their desire to start chemo radiation. If dental healing is not sufficient, they pulled all of his teeth. They will commence with a triple dose of chemo. So please pray for the healing. The treatments will be for 8 weeks. And most of the people get very sick with it. He said, I'm giving thanks in everything to God, for the Lord and to Him to get all the glory in the name above every name, Jesus. Above all, from orderlies to doctors have taken down the truth tracks, and gladly I point them to the website. What is he doing? Day-to-day lifting. Up there with cancer, going through chemo. All by himself. There's no wife up there by his side. There's no kids by... I mean, it's just him and God and the doctors. June the 25th, gum healing is progressing. The dentist plans to remove the sutures to commence chemo. Keeps going through. I pray the Lord to spare me, but I know He can bring me through every valley. As I've experienced, I will continue to rest for the healing. Thank you for your prayers of the knowledge God, His grace is good, and tracks are still going out. What's going on? Day to day lifting. Oh man, this guy's going through cancer all by himself. He goes on and on and on and on. Every one of them, here he ends. Talking about this doctor. Why cautious? Dr. Bithla was encouraged that I could possibly escape hospitalization for nutrition. She takes a track politely. Please pray the Lord to create in her a hunger for His truth. I thank Jesus Christ for His mercy and compassion for your cares and prayers. Over and over and over. everything he goes, so what is that? Day to day lifting. I got a letter last week from him. That old van he got out there is the biggest piece of junk you ever seen. When he used to come down my house, I knew he was coming 5 miles away. I could hear that thing. He said up here, he said, I don't want to buy nothing else. I want that money to go to missionaries. Hear him? He left here, he's going to North Carolina. Broke down. I got an email from him. Upon car breakdown on the side of the highway in North Carolina, mountains, I remembered to give my work and stress to the Lord and ask Him to not let me miss why it would be valuable for Him to meet all the, and for me to miss my renewal appointments. He had to go to North Carolina for his cancer renewal. He said, 18 hours later, he's walking on the road. And a few trials later, the counter lady at the second parts house the next morning told me of her husband's current ongoing chemo treatment about to commence radiation. Meanwhile, after none of the three shops in town could ever look at my problem, I'd have been, this guy's just going along. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the road. He's walking along the road, three shops he's going through, nobody wants to help him. Meanwhile, after none of the three shops in town could even look at my problem, a man at the parts house had called, was working on my van in the parking lot, and time was running out. I gave the lady Millions Disappeared by Dr. Rutten. Why Does God Allow the Suffering by James Melton, Once Saved, Always Saved by Terry Watkins. The man fixed my problem of a faulty TPS sensor that had been replaced. On my way to Durham, where I am now, I could not help but think that the reason for my stop was to get the witness of that man. She had thanked me for the materials and was reading them as I left. It is great to be in the will of God and doing His work. Say, what is that? Day-to-day lifting. You know what most people have been doing? Red old boy's doing, well, I come to the garden alone. Well, the dude. What's the temptation? Just quit. I'm going to give you one more. I'll just quit. Make this real quick. One more. Not too late anyway. It's just 12:30, 12:20. Restaurant's not even open yet. Look at verse 8, Matthew 4:8. I'm just going to make this one real quick. I'll give you the bridge edition and give Miss Karen the notes and she can preach it sometime. There's a day-to-day living. Just the cares of this life and turn those bread into stone. Man shall not live by bread alone. And then there's that day-to-day lifting. Thou be the Son of God. Cast thyself down. For he shall give his answers. Change charge concerning thee at any time. Dash thy foot against the stone. All that. Then the last one I'm going to give you real quick is verse 8. And I call this the day-to-day lusting. The day-to-day lusting. We got our day-to-day living just trying to get by. The day-to-day lifting or just getting back up and facing the world and just not quitting. Then we got that day-to-day lusting that just attacks us. Look at verse 8. Again, the devil taking them up to the exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said, all these things will I give thee, thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, I shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You know what that is? That's just that day-to-day lusting. That world out there just throws everything at you. It's a 24/7 lust propaganda machine. Wherever you go. You turn on the TV, there's commercials. Wham, 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 wham. You go down the road, there's billboards. Bam, 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 bam. You get on the internet, my goodness. Woo! I got on the internet last week. I ran out of toner in one of my printers. So I got on Sam's. I wanted to check the prices. I got on Sam's, looked at the toner. I got on Walmart, looked at the toner. I got Office Depot, was looking at the toner. Now, every site I go to, if I go to USA Today, if I go to Drudge, if I go to eBay, out to the side, there's those stupid toners that I look at. And every one of them says, last one. Wham, 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 wham. Like it's the last one on the whole planet is that toner. I know there's more than that one right there. But that's what the world does. They make you think you got to have. Listen, I got so much junk in my house. It's unbelievable. I've been trying to clean out my little room. I got a little office downstairs. Been down there. He knows what it looks like. He knows all that junk in there. I need two men in a truck just to clean out that room. I got so much junk down there. It's unbelievable. I got my little shop, Brother Jeff. I know Brother Jeff's not like this. I got tools and boxes, Brother Jeff, Brother David, I bought. I never even took out a box. But when I was at Home Depot, boy, and I was walking by that thing, it just reached out there and grabbed me. I got to have it. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Me and Jeff, we were out here working one day. What was that thing you had that you'd never used before? Something, a jack or something you bought at Home Depot. He brought it. Man, I've been wanting to use this thing for years. I bought this at Home Depot. I've been wanting to use this thing. Let's use it. I got a bunch of them like that. Say, what is that? It's just that day-to-day lusting. And if you're not careful, you know what? That stuff can just suck you in away from God that quick. You walk out. I'm a sucker for them, Brother Dodd. You put me in one of these two stores. I walk by one of my house. I'm going to buy one. I got boxes of them at home. Prove it. I don't even know what they're for, half of them. They look neat. I buy it. If it says on sale, a good deal, I'm going to buy it. I may not ever use it, may not even know what it is, but I got a good deal. I called Brother Bob Smith the other day. He's wanting me to come out and work on his house. Me and you need to go out there, Brother Jeff. I don't know if I can do all that we want. But he said, you heard about this tool? It's a little one of them little Dremel Maxi Max. I got one. He said, man, I got to get one of those. Where do you buy them at? I saw one of those the other day, and I could just tell he was lusting over the fog. Hey, I got to get one. Where you get them at? I've never seen one of those things. I say, Brother Bob, you can't use that thing. Can't get out of bed. But he wants one. I'm going to get him one. Say, what? It's just the day, the day, the day. Lust of the devil took him up there and said, all this is mine. You can have it. You know what got me? That was the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the one that made this earth. That was the one by Him where all things made. It says, when anything made was not made by Him. And the devil had enough audacity and enough temptation. He was thinking, boy, if I could just get him up here and show him all this, he'll bow down and worship me. You know what a lot of people have done? They have forsaken and sold out Jesus Christ for the world. A lot of Christians, saved people, that day-to-day lusting, I want to tell you, it can take you out that quick. Hebrews chapter 4 said the Lord was tempted in all points like as we. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We get so much of that junk and so much of it in it, brother. And a lot of times, those temptations and that lust will take us out. I love Brother Jarrett Pilgrim. Y'all remember he taught on temptation that one morning? That was a great message. And he's talking about he was in class with Dr. Ruttman that week, and Dr. Ruttman was 92 or something at the time, still teaching that time. And I thought it was funny. Brother Jared said Dr. Ruttman told him that week, he said, you know, guys, when you get in your 90s, the temptation, the lust is not quite as bad. I was thinking, that's not too encouraging. When you get in your 90s, it's not near as bad. I want to tell you just that day-to-day lust and all those things that's around us. And listen, you ladies, I bet you got shoes you never wore. There's brand new shoes down the road. Some of them bring in the yard sale. Seal in the box. So what is it? They just jump out at you. Just that day-to-day lusting can take you sometimes and get your eyes off the Lord and get you sucked into that thing. And sell out the Lord. I've seen it too many times, so have you. Mark 4:19 says, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and lust, the lust of other things, enter in and choke the word. I could give you a lot of stuff. A lot of that stuff, you know what it does? It just chokes us out of there. James chapter 1 verse 14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Devil don't need a whole lot of help sometimes. He's thrown away of his own lust and enticed, and when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's conceived bringeth forth death. That day-to-day lusting. I'm just going to give you an illustration close. I could give you a lot more. Had old boy down there to help Brother Charlie start Glory Land. Brother Charlie started that church in his house in Central Park, in his living room. Had a good crowd back then, you know. He's way over in Central Park. Had one of the guys there in his church, and I'm not going to name him, but I could. He is a wealthy guy. He loved the Lord. Guy had a lot going for him. Family, everything, wife, kids. I mean, he was as strong as anybody I've ever been around my life. He's the one, he lived out in Adamsville time. He's the one that got Charlie and him to move out to Adamsville. The first church they ever had was a little church, and this man bought the church and financed the church and helped them to get it. Member of his church, and he's right across the street from a cemetery. I don't know how many of you had ever went out there back then when he had that little church across from a cemetery. This man helped him. This man was strong as anybody I've ever known. Wealthy man. My wife knows who I'm talking about. Decided to get a place on the lake, Brother Brian, to go down and relax on Saturdays. Lust of other things. Brother Charlie warned him, said, you got to be careful about those things, brother. He said, I know, brother. We're just going to get a place down there at the lake. He had a lot of money out there on the lake and get a boat, do a little bit of skiing. Nothing wrong with that. Went down there on Saturdays. After a while, every once in a while, they stayed over there Saturday night and missed Sunday morning church. Brother Charlie warned him. He's one of the deacons in the church. One of the trustees, one of the main guys, man. Charlie warned him, said, hey, man, you need to get away from that, man. Don't be, no, man, everything's cool. We read our Bible, got up this morning, couldn't make it, so we got around. Hey, we all read the Bible, you know, that kind of business. Well, it's a little bit later. His wife come home from work one day early, caught him with another woman there in the house. Yeah. Ended up his wife leaving him, kids leaving him. I saw him about 15, this guy had a lot of money one time. I saw him about 15 years ago, I guess it was. I was looking for a car, and there was a little used car lot downtown, and I went in there to look at the car, and here come that joker walking out. I thought to myself, boy, oh boy, oh boy, if you not fell rock bottom now, you're a used car salesman. For real. You know what he did the whole time? Dogged everybody at Glory Land Baptist Church, his wife, everybody. So what happened? Day to day, lusting, sucked him down. He just sold the Lord out. Say, it couldn't happen to me, happen to you like that. Listen, the devil has the audacity to take Jesus Christ and tempt him, these kind of things. Brother, I'm going to tell you, he can tempt me just like that. I know what I deal with. It's not good. Let's bow our heads to prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the message.